As mentioned, I thank you, Dennis, for a little bit of an introduction. My wife, Jenny, and our four kids were down in Verona. Prior to that, we served at Allegheny Center Alliance Church for 15 years. Was on staff at Urban Impact Foundation for 11 years, and then we pastored a local church called Rock of Ages Alliance Church for 6 years. And then in 2019, the Lord gave us the opportunity to finally start a new work in the Verona and Oakmont area, which is the area in which we reside and have resided for a number of years. And we're really excited to finally have the opportunity to really try to reach that community for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a community that we've been burdened for, and many of you know that. I was told on the way in that my sermon today would have gone a lot better if I would have brought some Oakmont Bakery donut. So if the Lord should will that I have the opportunity to come back sometime, I'll have to try to remember to do that. But for today, I hope that it'll go well just the same. And so one of the things that the Lord has been laying upon my heart during this pandemic season, I know it's been hard for all of us, but he's been showing me different ways that the ways in which he's positioned us can be used as pulpits or as platforms to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as a church planter, that's something that you have to be thinking about all the time. You got to be thinking about different ways, different things that you can use to be all things to all people so that you might win a few to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know whether you know this or not, but today in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, today, May 2nd, is actually Church Planting Sunday. So the Lord got to be here on that particular day, and I'm thankful for that. But if you've got your Bibles with you, the text that I've selected for today's launching text comes to us out. And you can follow along, and I think Dave has it on the screen back there for you too, so an added benefit. So if you want to follow along right there on the screen, or if you like pages of your own Bible, I certainly understand that. So so it comes to us in Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, and walking through to verse 11. So it says, "And so it was, as the multitude pressed about him being Jesus, to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret," which is another name for the Sea of Galilee. "And he saw two boats standing there by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he, being Jesus, got into one of the boats, which was Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon Peter, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered him and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and they filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid, for from now on you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." I've entitled today's message, "Using Your Platform." Using your platform. Let's pray and ask the Lord into our time here together. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit, as we approach you this morning with great thanks in our hearts, we just invite you into our time here together. We pray now, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would be the preacher, that you would open up the eyes and the ears of everyone here that to the things that you want to speak to their hearts. Lord, I also pray that as an imperfect man, that you would forgive me and cleanse me of any sin and of any unrighteousness in my life, Lord, that you might make me a usable vessel to preach a perfect gospel as an imperfect man. And so we just thank you in advance for all that you're going to do in this time. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And as we look into God's word together this morning, may the Lord be with you. The late pastor and Bible teacher, J. Vernon McGee, most of you probably have heard that name at some point in your... I see a raise of hands back there. Okay, a couple more. Okay. Well, the late pastor and Bible teacher, J. Vernon McGee, once said that every pulpit is a fishing boat, a place to cast out the word of God and attempt to catch fish. And, you know, I thought about that statement, and I really like that statement. And I found, happened to come across this picture, which I think depicts it visually pretty well. But it's a church building with a pulpit that is made into shape or the form of a fishing boat. Okay, and I think it's a really great idea. I think there's a lot of truth to that statement. And, you know, personally, I do my best to live by that statement every privileged opportunity that I have to pulpit, much like this one. But I'd like to add something to his statement and to take that a little bit further and to suggest that pulpits or platforms, if you will, can come in many other forms other than the likes of this one. That they're not just for preachers and spiritual professionals, but they're for all of those that have been called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because rather, the supreme business of life is fishing for the souls of men. And that's something that all disciples of Jesus can and should be doing. And in fact, commissioned. And, you know, for all disciples of Jesus, it's really something that we also can do if we simply orient our minds around the priority of taking the blessings that we already have in the Lord Jesus Christ and passing them along to someone else. And so here we find Jesus with that very thing in mind, the business of fishing for and catching men. And he's hanging out near the Sea of Galilee, as he had done quite often before. And we know it was actually in this region that Jesus originally called his disciples to follow him. And they did follow him for a while, until they had returned to their fishing business, their occupational fishing business. Now, we don't know exactly why they returned or why they stopped following Jesus and they returned to their occupation. We can't be certain. Perhaps it was a longing for the familiarity of the fishing occupation, business, and the lifestyle. Perhaps they needed to support their families. They had families at home, and they may have needed to support them. But perhaps it was because they weren't totally convinced of who Jesus was at that point in time. Nonetheless, we can be sure of this, that on that particular day, they would have an encounter with Jesus that would send them on a trajectory and cause them to leave their fishing business behind. And so here's Jesus, and the people were crowding around him a little bit, so he thought it best to get into the boat and to drift out a little bit to create some space. And so in verse 3, we got into one of the boats, which happened to be Simon Peter's boat. And he asked Simon Peter to put out hand. And he sat down and began to teach the multitudes from the boat. And, you know, I don't know, as I contemplated this passage, I thought about Jesus asking Peter if he could use his boat for a few moments. And, you know, I kind of got this picture in mind. because I think about, you know, some of us may just read that and think, well, you know, here's Jesus. He's asking Peter to do something for him and whatnot. But the way I think about it is here's the master of the universe, the creator of all things, okay, asking if he can use Peter's boat. You know, in other words, Peter can use his boat for a few moments. This boat that was created out of the elements that I created when I created the earth. The wood that went into building it. This boat that I gave you as a blessing to help you provide for your family. Would it be all right if I use this boat for a few minutes to teach and to preach? And it's within this understanding that I hinted at a moment ago that leads us into our fundamental principle number one. And I think you may have that on the slide. I don't know if that was printed out for you, but if you could. There's number one, okay? God owns it all, and it is his loving nature to bless his children. But he never blesses just so that we can sit on his blessing, but to steward it and to be a blessing to others. And if you flip one more, it might have looked a little bit something like this, you know, with a little bit of space between Jesus and the shore. And he did his teaching there for that particular time. Now, years ago, I had a friend, the Lord helped me to lead him to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. But one of the things that my friend finally said to me after knowing me for a number of years, why are you talking about Jesus? You know? Why is it that you're always talking about Jesus and you're always telling me about Jesus? And I simply said, friend, I love you, you know? And I couldn't really necessarily say that I truly love you if I didn't tell you about the greatest thing in my life. And you know, it was just simply because of that statement and the platform that I had with him as a friend that the Holy Spirit intervened and helped him to find the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And that's a little bit of what's going on here. You see, Jesus delivered his friendship platform with him. And so all the while preaching, Simon is essentially forced to listen to Jesus preach. He's in the boat. He can't go anywhere. He can't get out of the boat. And so he's being forced to kind of sit there and listen to Jesus. Well, little does Simon Peter know that he's about to put him to a bigger test. A situation that would not only test Simon Peter's submission to him, Lord, but it would also test his submission of his occupational ideas and his expert knowledge as a fisherman and so on and so forth. So we read in verse 4 that when he stopped speaking, he said to Simon Peter, launch out into the deep and cast your nets. And that brings us to point number 2. Simon Peter that when Jesus asks you to do something illogical, when Jesus asks you to encounter cult, when Jesus asks you to do something that requires you to step out in faith-filled risk, or when he asks you to do something that's beyond your comprehension and your understanding, it's because he wants to test you and to take you out into deeper waters. You see, the world will try to tempt you to do things that align with the world. But if you know that it's Jesus speaking, and he's asking you to do something that contradicts the world and asks you to step out into faith-filled risk, it's because he wants to grow you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to deepen your faith and to take you out into those deeper waters with him. And so that's a little bit of what was going on right here in this moment with Simon Peter. And, you know, in a minute, ways, Jesus is constantly testing us in those same exact ways to see if he can trust us with the blessings that he bestows to us, to see if we're going to become a trustworthy vessel and conduit of his blessings. things that he's given us as pulpits, as platforms, as opportunities to reach people for the gospel. And it could be anything, because he wants to do immeasurably in you and through you more than you can ever imagine. So he's going to constantly test, and he's going to fill, and he's going to build you, and he's going to stretch your faith until you become that conduit vessel of which he can funnel blessings to others. And so to do this, number three, we've got to become a divine, in order to become a divine instrument of the Lord's blessing, okay? We've got to be competent in two particular key areas: stewardship and generosity. Stewardship and generosity, okay? For example, let me unpack that a little bit, okay? You may be a good steward, and you may know how to save, and you may know how to steward things and manage things, okay? But you may not necessarily be generous with it towards things of God. Kind of like the parable that Jesus tells about the guy who went out and, you know, he was such a good steward and he knew how to save so well that he had to go out and tear down his barns and build new ones because he just couldn't store all of them, right? But we're told in that parable that he wasn't rich towards the things of God. He wasn't generous towards the things of God in that way, and eventually he lost it all. On the other hand, you may be generous, but if you're not enough of a steward to save and to manage things, you won't have anything with which to be generous. So in either way, you got to be good at both. Okay, you've got to be good at managing both of these principles in order for you to become a conduit through which Jesus can funnel blessing to other people and impact you along the way. You know, on occasion, we're a family of six, and so we don't get out to eat very often. We do have the opportunity to go out and eat a little bit more, you know, before the pandemic and whatnot. But when we do, we make it a point to ask the waitress if there's anything that we can pray for them in their life. And then after we do, and usually they can come up with something, you know. Usually they have some sort of thing going on in their life that they could use some prayer, and they usually thank us for that. And so we pray for them, you know, over our food and over the meal, and we tell them that we're going to pray for them. And then we make sure at the end to tip their socks off, to bless them. I mean, really give them a good tip, not just an ordinary tip, but something that they're going to remember, because we want to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. But in order to do that, in order to be generous in that way, we had to save it first. Right? We have to be a good steward in order to have something to be generous. And that's just, you know, a simple little way of looking at things through the lens of having a platform to reach people for Jesus. It doesn't take a lot, you know, but if you look through the lens of, he can give you different ways that you can bless people and that you can reach in that way. And so, you know, God's looking for ways to open up the floodgate of heaven and to pour out his blessings upon you. But it's also so that he can get those blessings to other people as well. But we've got to be good in both of those particular areas. And so Jesus tests Peter in these areas. And so from word nevertheless that's used in verse 5, have that. You don't have to flip back. You can just stay where you're at. But if you look at your Bibles, if you're looking in verse 5, okay, Peter says, you know, we've worked all night. You know, we've worked our tails off all night. Okay, and you know, this isn't really a good time to be casting out the nets in that way. Okay, but nevertheless, he says, nevertheless, we'll cast them out. Okay, just as you say. So we conclude from the word for the last an exchange with Jesus that maybe wasn't. Probably had a few words with Jesus, you know, in that particular moment, because, you know, if you think about it from the standpoint of an expert fisherman, okay, nighttime was the time to go out and fish. The fish come to the surface. They're a lot easier to reach with that at that time. You can use lights to kind of draw them up to the surface. Whereas during the daytime, they tend to go into deeper waters. Okay, so this didn't make a whole lot of sense to an expert fisherman go out and to cast their nets out like that during the daylight. Okay, their tails off all night. And so I can almost kind of imagine the exchange that Peter's having with Jesus. You know, you may know things about carpentry, okay? But I know fishing. All right. So you just stay in your lane, Jesus. You know, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. I know about fishing. Okay. But nevertheless, I'll cast out the nets just like you asked me to. And so we read in verse 5 that, you know, he says, nevertheless, I'll cast out the nets. And so in this way, Jesus is testing Peter. And that brings us to number 4. And that is that Jesus can and will do just about anything. He owns it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the lumber. He owns the lumber that built this church building. He owns it all. And he can give you just about anything if he knows that you'll be willing to give it back to him so that it can be used as a platform for his glory. I mean, he can give you cars. He can give you, buildings. He can give houses. He can give you all kinds of different things because he owns it all. I mean, think about it. The steel that made up your car that you drove here to with this morning was made out of elements that Jesus created when he created the earth. Okay? The building, the place that you work in, your place of employment, it was built with materials that Jesus created. And so all this to say that, you know, platforms can come in a lot of different forms. They can come in fishing boats. They can come in the form of nets. They can come in, you know, the form of a vehicle. You know, when I worked for Urban Impact Foundation, I don't know whether you guys are familiar with that, but that's a ministry out of ACA 3 years ago. Pastor Ed, who leads that ministry, he decided one day that, you know, we ministered to kids down on the north side of Pittsburgh. And he decided that one day we needed vehicles to transport these kids around safely on the north side. Pittsburgh. And so we began to pray for vehicles. Okay. Well, shortly thereafter, some organization stepped up to the plate and they said, we want to give you 16 12-passenger vans. 16 12-passenger vans. Can you imagine? Right? We want to give them to you. We've heard about what you're doing down there on the north side of Pittsburgh, and we want to give them to you. If you're willing to do one thing, if you're willing to allow us to put the words, be united in Christ, on the side of the vans. And Pastor Ed said, well, I think we can do that. I think we can accommodate you on that. We'll be glad to give them back to you for you to put that on the side of these vans. And we thank you for that amazing blessing. And we're going to use them to transport kids all over the north side of Pittsburgh. So, that's just an example. Jesus can give you anything. Anything. He owns it all. Okay? If you're willing to give it back to him, to allow him to use it as a platform for his glory. And so that next picture right there is just, you know, it's kind of a picture of what's happening in that moment, you know? Another example is we have our home, okay? Our home, and We homeschool our kids and whatnot. Well, prior to the pandemic, we haven't gotten back into it just yet, but we were using our home as a church building. Okay, we had groups that met in the public library. The library, we went in and told them what we wanted to do, and the library said, fine, you can use this this space for free. We had a group that met in the local school, and we had a Bible study that met in a local coffee shop, but We got to use all those things for free prior to the pandemic because we're willing to use them to reach people for the gospel. Another example would be a job. Maybe God's given you a job, and He's put you in such a position for such a time as this to reach a particular person. Okay, a job can be a platform, a pulpit. And then I'd like to bring up one other example, and that is time. Okay, what about time? Okay, you ever pray for time? You ever think about time as a pulpit to reach people? People are really good about managing and stewarding time. Okay, culture promotes time management for kind of selfish reasons a lot of times, to businesses or what have you. Okay, the book of James tells us that oftentimes we have not because we ask not, and then when we do ask, we don't ask with the right motives. Have you ever asked for more time so that you could give it away to serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever thought about that? Asking for more time so that you could just freely give it away to serve the Lord Jesus. I think that's something that we, you know, ought to think about a little bit more often. And so, when they went ahead and they did what Jesus asked them to do, just the way that to do it, they cast out their nets. Even though it didn't make sense, even though it was probably viewed as a strange thing to do in that community by a fisherman, they went ahead and did it. And when they did, the text tells us that they caught such a great number of fish to the point that their nets were breaking and their boats were sinking. Okay? And when Simon Peter saw that, verse 8, it says that he fell down at Jesus' knees and he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." You see, Peter had been humbled in that moment. And if I were to kind of paraphrase, I think, what Peter was maybe trying to get across in that moment, you know? I mean, I think he was kind of saying to Jesus, you know, I went back to my fishing business because I thought that it was something that I knew something about. But you've just blown up my world. You've blown up my world. I thought I knew a thing or two about fishing. But you've shown me that nothing happens unless you order it in your timing, in your way. And I've been blown away by that. And he knew in that moment that he was standing before the Messiah. He knew. And so he was struggling to make sense of that. And that was that picture that we just looked at a moment ago. And you know, I myself have felt that way a lot of times during this pandemic season. We've done a lot of ministry over the years. I've been thankful to have the opportunity to do ministry in a lot of different contexts and whatnot. But this pandemic thing has really taught me a thing or two, you know? I thought I knew a thing or two about church planting. But when the pandemic hit, it made it really, really challenging to try to bring people together in the way that we were used to doing. And I know that all churches have been impacted by it in that way, but when you don't own any of your own space and you're relying upon public spaces, at least down in Allegheny County, it's made it really challenging. It's completely flipped things upside down. And I've been humbled, you know, and the Lord has been speaking to us during this time, teaching us a great deal about how to use platforms in different ways. And so, you know, perhaps some of you have been in that position before. Maybe the Lord has humbled you and you thought you had it all figured out, you know, and you were doing your thing and you had your vocation or your occupation or whatever it was, and the Lord humbled you, okay? Well, we believe that the Lord Jesus has been preparing us through this season to give us a greater platform than we had even before the pandemic. And there's all kinds of ways that He's showing us that, things that He's teaching us, doors that He's opening up, relationships that He's creating, places that he's giving us to start to use again to bring people together. And, you know, in the same way that we believe that he's setting that up to give us a bigger platform, he wants to do the same thing for you. He wants to do the same thing for you. Wherever you're at, in whatever phase of life you're in, he wants to give you a platform and he wants you to see it as such. You know, later on in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus gave Peter his platform. And he stepped up to the plate on that particular day, and over 3,000 people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, probably even more than that with the women and the children. And I think, you know, that for Peter, when that happened, it must have reminded him of this particular day on the. And in the same way that Jesus gave Peter his platform, number five, Jesus wants to give you a platform so that he can show the whole world about himself through you. Through you. You know, many times the best way to get introduced people to Jesus is not to trick them, convince them, or to force them or drag them into a church service like this, but is simply to introduce them to the Jesus in you. The Jesus in you. By seeing the things that you've been given as a platform to be used for his glory and for his honor. And so, you know, for Peter, I want you also to notice that on that particular day, it didn't just affect Peter, but it also affected those around him. And so in verse 7, when he signaled to his partners to get involved because their nets were breaking, okay, when he does something through you and in you like that, it's not just for your benefit, but it's for those around you. And, you know, so he got John involved and he got, you know, the people from the other boat involved. And it's not recorded in the text, but I like to think that there were people on the shore who had just finished listening to Jesus who were witnessing what was going on out there in the water. And they noticed, you know, they noticed that, you know, it was a little strange that they cast out their nets in the daytime like that. But they also noticed the huge catch. They noticed that other people got involved, and I'm sure that they were impacted by it in that way. And so, number six, the fruit. And I say the fruit because it's a result of using your platform. Okay, the fruit using your platform will bless those around you. It'll bless those around you. And so we read that in verse 9, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they got involved, and the people that I imagine were on the shore. Which leads us to, which is, once you're on the divinely appointed platform, what you do gives weight to what you say. What you do gives weight to what you say. In other words, more is caught than taught. One way to explain that is that once Jesus is positioned, you have other people's attention by using your platform in the way that he intended for you to do it. The way that you act and the way that you live is going to speak a lot louder than, you know, just knowing that and not doing anything with it. Okay? So that's very important to understand that once you're in that position, okay, what you do is going to fuel what you say. Okay? One of the things that I find particularly interesting about this passage is that the message Jesus delivered while he was on the boat wasn't even recorded. It wasn't like, you know, the Sermon on the Mount or, you know, it wasn't even recorded. We don't even have any record of what Jesus said to the people that particular day. All we have a record is of what he did. in that particular account. And remember, this is Luke's gospel. He's Mr. Detail, the physician, you know. And I just find it interesting that he didn't even record any of what Jesus said, but he recorded what Jesus did. And that's an important thing to remember when we arrive at our platforms, that when God positions us in a divine place or with divine things to be used, the things that we do with them is going to speak a lot louder than what we say. I mean, most worldly platforms, talk is cheap. You know, there's lots of voices out there in the media, in the world, lots of shallow promises out there. I mean, there's nothing against, all, I know there are some good politicians, but, a lot of politicians, I think they promise things that they know they have no intentions of keeping. But they're evaluated more by what they do than what their platform is, and that's because that's the way that people evaluate. And when you're in that position, that's the way evaluate you, by your action. Do with that, not through your methods. Because one of the things that I've learned during this pandemic season is I've watched all kinds of different things. I don't know of anybody that's written a book out there on how to plant a church in a pandemic. I don't have a lot of people to go to for anything like that, okay? And I've heard people say, try this, focus your efforts on this, do that, and the point of the matter is you can wear yourself out fishing all night long, just like Peter. But it doesn't matter, because until you hear from the Lord, and he says it's time to cast out the nets, it's only then that you're gonna start making a difference, So we've listened a lot during this season. And then we've tried to act on Jesus instead of, different measures and activities that can spin you out there that people like to talk about and all these things. So I think that's a really important thing to remember. And think about Peter. When he stepped forward on that day in Pentecost, people noticed what he did. They noticed what he did. They noticed that, he was an ordinary fisherman, but that he was no longer an ordinary man because he had been with Jesus. And there he is, stepping up to the plate and bringing people to Christ, and he'd been changed forever. And Jesus wants to get you to the point where you avoid the distractions of life and step into using your platform in that way. And then finally, Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, for from now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats in, they forsook everything and they followed him. Okay? They no longer were paying any attention to any of the distractions of life, the things that, they knew that it wasn't about fishing anymore. It was about Jesus. And it was about hearing his voice and having a relationship with him and following him and doing what he was asking them to do. And that's the place that Jesus wants to get each and every one of us, to the place where we recognize our platform for what it is, and the world, the flesh, and the devil is going to try to distract us and try to get us off track and try to get us to minimize what that platform is and how we use it. But he wants to get you where you just drop it all. And so I want to close our time together with a short story that kind of is that. There's this old story that involves Yogi Berra, the well-known catcher for the New York Yankees, and Hank Aaron, who at the time was the chief hitter for the Milwaukee. And so, Yogi was a catcher, and so he was used to chattering and trying to distract the batters as they come up to bat. I mean, it was also to try to pep up his team, keep those. But he was doing his normal thing, and as each one of the Milwaukee batters stepping up to the plate, he was trying to distract them.
And so on this one particular occasion, when Henry Aaron stepped up to the plate, Yogi tried to distract him, okay, by saying, "Hey, Henry or Hank, you know, they called him, you're holding the battle. You know, you're supposed to be looking at the trademark label. You know anything about baseball bats, but when they use wooden bats, you're supposed to have the label turned up towards you, or else you'll break the bat. It's just the grain and the wood and the way it's made." And so he's trying to distract him by telling him that he's holding the bat all wrong, you know. And so Aaron didn't say anything. And when the next pitch came in, he hit it into the left field bleachers. And after rounding the bases and stepping on home plate, Aaron looked at Yogi Berra and he said, "I didn't come up here to read." You see, Aaron was on the platform. He knew it. He knew he was the home run hitter. He was the big hitter. And he knew he was up there to hit home runs. And he wasn't going to be distracted by the tactics of the enemy or of the opponent. And that's the place that Jesus wants to get each and every one of us to. Is that place where, you know, the world, the flesh, and the devil, they try to entangle us with things. When we get to that point where we recognize how Jesus has positioned us, what he's given us that can be a tool to reach, and that we just eliminate all the distractions in our lives, can focus on him. That's where he wants to get each and every one of us to be. And so I just want to close with a simple question. Number 8, what platform has God given you? What platform has God given you? In whatever phase of life you're in, I guarantee you, he's created something for you to be able to reach people with the gospel. And are you focused on using your platform for his honor and for his glory? To reflect it to a broken world. And by so doing, are you becoming a vessel of blessing that he can funnel blessing through you to others? Why don't we pray together? Gracious Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your work in our lives. We thank you for what we celebrated today, for your work upon the cross, and how we can celebrate that and look forward to the day that you are going to return. But Lord, we know that it doesn't stop there, that you've commissioned us as disciples of yours to carry that message to other people, and that you've equipped us with lots of things that are usable in this world to help reach people. And so I pray, Lord Jesus, that as we go out into the world this week, that you will open our eyes to see those matters with your eyes. Lord, when we pass people on the streets that are hurting, that have been broken, that have experienced deficits during this time of the pandemic, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help them to see it, you would help us to see them through your eyes. And that ultimately you wouldn't just stir in our hearts, but that you would change us from the inside out. To see the things that you've given us as blessings to funnel to others. So I just thank you and praise you for all that you do, and I pray that you're going to be working in those ways, and we thanks and praise for what you're going to do in advance. We thank you for this time, that you'd be with every person here and represented. We pray things in Jesus' name, amen and amen. And if you'll stand, I can bring a benediction then. Close us out. It's been a real privilege to be here with you today and to share the Word of God and to get to meet a few of you. And I'll be praying for you as we go on in the weeks ahead. And so for now, may the Spirit of God take you out into the world this week to see people with the eyes of Jesus, through the lens of Jesus. And may the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may His countenance of peace rest upon you. And have a great week serving the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Go in peace.